Washington. This is VOA News. I'm Steve Norman reporting. Syrian Democratic Forces seized full control Friday of the Islamic State stronghold of Manbij, that is near the Turkish border. SDF told Reuters its forces were sweeping the city after the last Islamic State militants in the city had fled. U.S.-backed forces had also freed more than 2,000 civilian hostages, whom IS had been using as human shields. U.S. and coalition officials have long seen Manbij as a key hub for the terror group. Foreign ministers of Turkey and Iran have agreed to boost trade relations and pledge greater cooperation on resolving the Syrian crisis, despite their differences on the issue. At a joint news conference, Iranian Foreign Minister Mohammad Javad Zarif said he is pleased to see the relations between Turkey and Russia have improved and that they are moving towards a cooperation on the issues of a region that are important to Iran, Turkey, and Syria. Meantime, Turkish Foreign Minister Mevlut Çavuşoğlu was quick to heap praise and thanks on his Iranian counterpart. Çavuşoğlu stressed how important Zarif's support was during last month's failed military takeover. United Nations Security Council has authorized the deployment of an additional 4,000 troops to South Sudan. Despite reservations by the government, troops will be deployed to South Sudan's capital, Juba, and are authorized to use all means necessary to enforce their mandate. Authorization follows heavy fighting last month in Juba that left hundreds of people dead. This is VOA News. United Nations Committee Against Torture is warning that acts of violence and incitement to hatred against the ethnic Tutsi minority in Burundi could develop into genocide. We get more now from Lisa Bryant at the UN in Geneva.
The UN Committee Against Torture examined three regular reports submitted by Kuwait, Honduras, and Mongolia. The committee also addressed a special report from Burundi. Chair of the committee, Jens Moldvik, says the committee has received information that reports of violence and torture are politically and ethnically motivated.
Secretary General's Special Advisor on the Prevention of Genocide has expressed preoccupation that we are in an early stage of something that could develop towards genocide.
Deadly protests broke out in the capital, Bujumbura, in April 2015, following President Pierre Nkurunziza's bid for a third term in office. Since then, the UN Refugee Agency reports some 275,000 people have fled to neighboring countries in search of refuge. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
U.S. defense officials are telling Russia to tone down its tough talk on Ukraine, warning Moscow could inflame an already tense and fragile situation. One defense official said the U.S. has not seen any evidence to support Russian claims that Ukraine has been trying to carry out terror attacks, citing what he called Moscow's record of frequently levying false accusations at Ukraine. Earlier in the day in Moscow, Prime Minister Dmitry Medvedev said Russia could break off diplomatic ties with Ukraine in light of the recent security concerns. At the Olympics going on in Rio de Janeiro, it was day seven and the first track and field medals of 2016 were awarded, with Ethiopian runner Almaz Ayana taking home the gold and setting a new world record for the women's 10,000-meter race. American swimmer Katie Ledecky has smashed the world record in the women's 800-meter freestyle event, while fellow American Michael Phelps was upset by a swimmer from Singapore. Ledecky became the first swimmer since American Debbie Meyer in 1968 to sweep the 200, 400, and 800-meter freestyle events in a single Olympics. Joseph Schooling of Singapore led the men's 100-meter butterfly from start to finish, edging out Phelps, who swam faster than he had done while winning the same event 4 years ago in London. America Maya Dorado won the gold medal in the women's 200-meter backstroke, denying Hungary's Katinka Hosszú a fourth straight gold, earning silver instead. You can stay on top of the Olympic events at our website, voanews.com.
That's the latest world news from VOA. Well, hello again and welcome to another edition of Jazz America here on VOA 1. This is Russ Davis, your host. We have a very special birthday to celebrate on this edition of the program. 20-time Grammy Award winner, guitarist, composer, bandleader Pat Metheny turned 62 on August 12th. Patrick Bruce Metheny is a guitarist of extreme talent. He's also a unique composer and musical visionary, playing everything from solo acoustic guitar to with a full complement of electronic musical instrumentation called orchestrion. Down through the years, Pat Metheny has given us some of the most interesting musical projects in all of jazz, and we'll do our best in the short amount of time we have to cover a brilliant life and career. Let's begin this edition of Jazz America with two brand new pieces of music, and we'll begin with a visit to Cuba. Jane Bonnet is a multi-instrumentalist known as a soprano saxophonist and flutist primarily, and she's from Canada. In 1990, she had the idea of going to Cuba and playing with some of her own musicians and some of the fine players from that incredible musical island. The results were the album from 25 years ago called Spirits of Havana, and it's just been re-released with new presentations that have never been heard before, including this one. Here's the song Nacimiento with Jane Bonnet on the flute from Spirits of Havana, beginning this hour of VOA's Jazz America. Thank you.
We moved around a lot when I was a kid, 'cause my daddy was the traveling type. The last thing in the world that he'd like to do was to watch that box and smoke a pipe. Yep, we lived all over the city and the country, and that's the reason why I got itchy feet and I want to kiss this town goodbye. Only thing I'll miss, yeah, after I'm gone, is this very special woman I know. She got a lot of ways to get me to stay, even though I really want to go. Hey, she wild, that doxy, fine and foxy. But that's the reason why I'm kicking around and I want to kiss this town goodbye. So black bitches, black boat,
Just two of the greats around today. On the saxophone, leading his quartet, Branford Marsalis, and special guest vocalist Kurt Elling from the album Upward Spiral. That was a very familiar song for jazz fans. Sonny Rollins' classic composition Doxy, with lyrics added by the late great vocalist Mark Murphy, in whose footsteps Kurt Elling has been stepping over the years. And those two, Kurt Elling and Branford Marsalis, were running into each other on the road from time to time and had mentioned to one another, we ought to do an album. Finally, they got around to it. It's what you just heard, and they are taking this new recording, Upward Spiral, on the road, so maybe you'll see them, maybe at a jazz festival near you this summertime. This is Russ Davis. And on this edition of Jazz America, it's the celebration of the 62nd birthday of the great guitarist, composer, and bandleader, and 20-time Grammy Award winner, Pat Metheny. Pat Metheny has done so many different things and recorded so much wonderful work with so many different people, including his own solo works and collaborations with a number of the greats of jazz today. It's going to be very difficult to pin down the specifics of his life and career and to play some of the best music that he's ever created because he's made so much. But we'll do our best. And let's begin at the beginning. How did Pat Metheny turn on to jazz in the beginning? Well, let's get the story from Pat and then hear some of his earliest work here on VOA's Jazz America.
I can't remember a time when I didn't think I was going to be a musician.
Hmm.
I think I just always was going to be a musician. You
know? And so many kids aren't supported by their parents to be musicians. I mean, I think a lot of us have stories like that.
We did have some problems because shortly after that, not only did I get really interested in music, but I got interested in electric guitar, which for my parents, as cool as they were, the electric guitar to them was sort of something that represented everything that was bad about the time, which was the time of Elvis and all that stuff, which to them, of their generation, they associated that with juvenile delinquency. And then the Beatles, which for them was really like, you know, most of America at that time. It was something that was so powerful. I think parents, you know, of that generation, and I fall kind of towards the tail end of that kind of that 60s generation. Mm-hmm. I mean, I wasn't old enough to eventually become a hippie. Mm-hmm. You know, I was kind of like a little younger than that. But, you know, the Beatles for me, it was really powerful.
Yeah.
And that made me want to play the guitar.
Great.
And then within weeks after that, after freaking my parents out so completely by wanting to be, you know, getting interested in the guitar. And once I finally did get a guitar, then I immediately turned my back on rock and roll and got interested in jazz. So not only was I then rebelling against my parents, I was rebelling against every person that I knew in Lee's Summit, Missouri, because there wasn't one person except this one guy in our neighborhood that knew anything about jazz. And
it was Wes Montgomery that you heard that made that happen?
Because I know it was Miles Davis. There was my brother brought home a Miles Davis record called Four and More within about, I would say, 8 seconds into the record, I was gone forever. It was the greatest thing I had ever heard. And to this day, that record blows my mind exactly the same way. I mean, I was very lucky that that was the record that he happened to bring home. I just couldn't get enough of it. I ran home from school every day just to put that thing on and put my head between the speakers and just hear that sound.
And we'll hear that 1964 live Miles Davis recording, Four and More, that turned Pat Metheny onto jazz originally, after we hear from Pat Metheny's debut solo effort. Here's the title cut from the 1976 release Bright Size Life, featuring Bob Moses on drums and Jaco Pastorius on bass, alongside Pat Metheny's guitar, of course, on Jazz America from VOA 1.
Thank you.
Wow, what an all-star band. Miles Davis on trumpet, leading a quartet of fellow musicians. George Coleman on tenor sax, Herbie Hancock on piano, Ron Carter on bass, and Tony Williams on drums, doing the Miles classic Seven Steps to Heaven live in 1964. Now, you know why Pat Metheny was so impressed with that being the album that turned him onto jazz. Miles Davis, Four and More, recorded live in concert. Hope you enjoyed that. More of our salute to Pat Metheny on the event of his 62nd birthday coming up. But first, I want to invite you to get in touch with me by email. It's very simple. I'll give you the email address to which you can write with your questions, comments, or requests for music. Here's the address: jazzamerica@voanews.com. That's jazzamerica, the two words written as one word, @ voanews.com. jazzamerica@voanews.com. And here's a message I've received, which reads as follows. Dear host, I would like to request a song for my brother Ralph Queist and myself. He is a jazz bird. I suppose that means jazz fan, and that's good. I like that. I want this song to be played for us. Compared to What by Eddie Harris and Les McCann. Please let me know when it will be played. No good reception at my place so that I can get a good place to listen. Thanks for giving us good jazz. Regards, Richard Idam. Well, Richard, thank you so much, and it is my pleasure to play for you and for your brother Ralph one of the classic songs of the jazz fusion era, recorded in the 1970s at the Montreux Jazz Festival in Switzerland from the album Swiss Movement. Les McCann on vocals, Eddie Harris on piano. He wrote the song. It is Compared to What, just for you, to begin this set of music on VOA's Jazz America.
the love. Our hanging on, we push and shove. Possession is the motivation that is hanging up. The entire nation looks like we always end up in a rut. Everybody now trying to make it real compared to what. Slaughterhouses are killing hogs. Twisted children are killing frogs. Poor dumb rednecks rolling logs. Tired old ladies kissing dogs. I hate the human love of that stinking mud. I can't use it. Trying to make it real compared to what. Just what it's for. Nobody gives us a rhyme or reason. Have one doubt, they call it treason. We're chicken feathers all the way out wonder. They make life trying to make it real compared to what. Sunday sleep and nod, trying to duck the wrath of God. Preachers filling us with fright. They all trying to teach us what they think is right. They really got to be some kind of nut. I can't use it. Trying to make it real compared to what. And where's that honey? Where's my God and where's my money? Unreal values, a crass distortion. Unwed mothers need abortion. Kind of brings to my old young King Tut. He did it now, trying to make it real compared to what.
Thank you.
the man they call Hawk, Coleman Hawkins, the great tenor saxophonist, with I'm Beginning to See the Light from the 1960 album Coleman Hawkins All-Stars, and among those all-stars, the great pianist Tommy Flanagan on that Duke Ellington classic. Hope you enjoyed that. I want to play it for you because it's a great piece of jazz history, and also because Coleman Hawkins hails from the same part of the United States of America as our special guest on this edition of Jazz America, Mr. Pat Metheny. Coleman Hawkins was born in St. Joseph, Missouri, and Pat Metheny was born in Lee's Summit, Missouri, both suburbs of Kansas City, and they became part of the Kansas City scene in different decades. Well, coming up now is some conversation with Pat Metheny, because he is one of the most prolific composers in modern jazz, without a doubt. And I've made note of the fact that I think he is one of the great writers of hymns and anthems. And the song you're about to hear is one of his most famous, Last Train Home, which is a little bit of both in my estimation. Before we hear the song, let's enjoy some comments that I enjoyed hearing from Pat Metheny in our conversation not long ago as he talked about composing.
I often, you know, think about tunes as being sort of, they're all around us right now. And it's sort of like, you know, there's this incredible fossil in the desert, but it's incredibly delicate. And, you know, you see those guys with like toothbrushes and little whisk brushes that are like very delicate. And to me, the analogy with that is that's your musical talent. And the more refined you can get it, the more capable you are of like extracting out of the ether, you know, these bits of musical, hopefully, value. Mm. And, you know, lots of times when you're writing tunes, you have a great idea, but in the process of writing it down, you break it. And, you know, it's a very delicate task to sort of take something from that world and actually be able to bring it into life intact.
Mm-hmm. I remember one earlier in a conversation we had, you said that when you're writing, it's like digging in the dirt to get to the good stuff. So I have a couple of thoughts there. I think when you were a little kid, you played out in the dirt quite a bit. And second, in another life, you probably were an archaeologist. I don't know. I'm just feeling that way.
Maybe so, yeah.
I'm getting that vibe.
Could be.
From the album Still Life Talking, the beautiful Last Train Home on Jazz America from VOA 1.
Thank you. This is Gary Burton, and you're listening to Jazz America with Russ Davis on The Voice of America.
from the album Dreams So Real with Pat Metheny as a member of his band on guitar when he was only about 21. More from Pat Metheny next hour. Stay tuned.